Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things and it's blessed them, but there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him. Today I'm sharing a message about being childish. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 10, "But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." The kingdom of God has been here now on this earth for about 2,000 years since the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. It is here by the Spirit so that now the imperfect can be put away. We do not have to use our minds anymore. Anyone who wants to do God's perfect will can now do this by listening to the Spirit, hearing God, trusting and obeying. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, I'm reading. This is in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, starting in verse 8. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God." Verse 9, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." The purpose of God's salvation includes doing the works that God planned for us to do from the beginning, and for man to replenish the earth. If we are not doing his works, then we'll end up doing our own instead. If you're not walking in the plans that God has ordained, you'll need to repent. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Your soul will be contaminated unless your mind is renewed and you're walking in faith. You should be hearing his voice and be submitted to Christ and let him change you, or you will not reach your full potential. There is grace available, but you need ears to hear what God is saying and not use your mind." Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." The word childish in Strong's is number 3516. It comes from another word which means basically not speaking. That is infant or simple-minded person, immature or a babe. Carnal Christians who cannot hear God for themselves are childish and immature. First, put away childish things if you want to grow up spiritually. Thinking and using your mind to make decisions is childish. God will give you the next step and not overload you with information so you can live a life free from corruption in this world. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 12. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall." Verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you but which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. No one will consult their own minds in eternity, because they know God and trust him for everything. The kingdom of God is already here now by the Spirit. Despite the corruption that's in this world, God will always make a way of escape so that you can be righteous. His way of escape is not without some discomfort, as there are things you will have to bear. For example, you cannot just do things in the way the world does them. We have to ask the Lord everything, because the devil is the god of this world, and he has produced so many counterfeits based on the lusts of the flesh. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 14, in verse 21 and 22. This is from the book of Acts, chapter 14, and verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to the city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. Verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we might, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Your priorities have to change. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Today, knowledge is made available to everyone through the internet. There is no restriction based on faithfulness or a chastened life. You can accumulate knowledge and be exposed to large amounts of information and use it to do good and to do evil. There are no limits on the amount of data you can download. There is no sense of urgency or accountability. Those who are childish use the things of the world without the fear of God, playing computer games, listening to social media. Mankind does not see the need to be faithful and to use knowledge in the way that God intended. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 48. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and reading verse 48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. In the natural realm, there is such an abundance of information that those using their minds cannot cope anyway. Many feel intimidated or get overwhelmed and make excuses instead. But there is a better way. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I'm reading verses 12 to 14. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 12, starting in verse 12. And further, by these, my son, be admonished, of making many books there is no end, and of much study is a weariness of the flesh. Verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. In the spiritual realm, more is given to those who are faithful. Fear God and keep his commandments. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 16. I'm reading Philippians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Those who are following Christ have something to offer this world. They are living a simple but happy life on the narrow way, not complaining, not arguing or debating. They are not part of the problem and blameless in this world, even though there is corruption everywhere through the love of money. You cannot live on the narrow way unless you're willing to lose things that others in this world deem necessary to have a fulfilled life. You can then shine when you are still rejoicing in all circumstances. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. I'm reading 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. Those who love his appearing are ready for the perfect life, where there is no more thinking. They are living by faith and doing what God tells them to do and not to do. Not everyone who is born again is ready to rule with Christ. Those who are spiritually minded have used what they have been given by God in this world and learned how to be faithful to God and his calling on their lives. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. No one will need to consult his or her own mind when Jesus is reigning. The knowledge in eternity will not be like the knowledge that the world is seeking. Those living in the world want knowledge so they can do what they want to do and fulfill the lusts of the flesh. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. This is 1 John chapter 2. I'm reading verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17. The world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. This world is passing away, but those who have learned to trust and obey God will abide forever. He is love, and what he directs is perfect and good for all mankind. You can have an earnest of the kingdom now through the Spirit. You do not have to wait for the kingdom to come, as it is here now. Jesus died on the cross and paid the price so you could have the Holy Spirit in you. This is what happened on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, I'm reading verses 37 to 40. This is Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 37. And now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39. For the promise is unto you and your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. The word untoward in Strong's is number 4646, from another word which means warped, that is winding or perverse or crooked or forward. You have to save yourselves from the corrupt society and culture we live in now with the help of the Holy Spirit. That corruption is also in you because you are in this world controlled by the devil at one time. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. This is Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You need to ask God before you use anything in this world. If you want to do His perfect will, you have to check with God first, because there is corruption everywhere. There are not many activities in the church that have not already been corrupted through carnal Christians using their minds. James said in James chapter 1 and verse 27, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." You may not believe the world is corrupt because you still want something that the world offers you and have a friendship with the world. When challenged with the fact that you need to ask God everything, you react because you are still childish. James said in James chapter 4 and verse 4, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Carnal Christians do not believe it is a blessing to have knowledge on a need-to-know basis. They have a confidence in the flesh and think that they can use natural discernment and still not sin or fall into temptation. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Those who are born again and childish have a confidence in the flesh. It's only possible to escape evil in this world by trusting the Lord with all your heart. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. This is the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Verse 6. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Verse 7. "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil." Verse 8. "And it shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones." When Jesus comes back, you will know, even as God knows you. Spiritual information includes your spiritual condition, not just information about the world around you. People prefer knowledge without truth today because they hide from conviction and accountability. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 10 to 13, I'm reading. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 10. "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Verse 11. "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." Verse 12. "That they might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Verse 13. "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." You will be judged and condemned with the world if you prefer to believe lies rather than the truth. You should be repenting regularly so that you are ready for His appearing. You do not have the knowledge of God if your life is not changing. In the kingdom, you do not get more knowledge without some repentance. The knowledge of God is so you can repent and continue to be righteous. This is the best time to be alive. There is more grace in these last days for those who are seeking righteousness. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 22. I'm reading verses 10 to 14. This is Revelation, chapter 22, starting in verse 10. "And he said unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." Verse 11. "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." Verse 12. "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Verse 13, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, and they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Those in the church today do not want to hear that carnal Christians clinging to this world will be left behind. However, those who seek God for his commands are blessed and will be able to enter the city where God dwells. You need to start asking God now for commands and develop a love relationship with him. For more information on how to develop a love relationship with God through the commands of Jesus, please read the book How Love Grows by Joseph Hedgecott. There is a false belief that every child of God will have the same reward. But what about those who've paid a price for following Christ and kept themselves unspotted from the world? Jesus said in Luke 18, verses 7 and 8, I'm reading. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, I'm reading verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? People persist in lies not because they cannot read the Bible, but prefer to deceive themselves that they can do what they want, when they want, and still not end up in hell. If you have not made Jesus the functional Lord of your life, you are childish. James said in James chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, I'm reading. This is James chapter 4, starting in verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not thence, even of the lusts that war in your members? Verse 2, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. Verse 3, ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Your mind is unrenewed if you are childish, and you still need milk. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 5, and starting in verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Verse 12. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. The word strong in Strong's is number 4731. It comes from another word which means stiff, that is solid, stable, or steadfast, or strong or sure. The word meat in Strong's is number 5160. It comes from another word which means nourishment, that is, by implication, rations or wages or food. The hardest teaching today that the church will not embrace is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They make excuses based on the fact that God gave us a free will. They mock God and make excuses for using their own mind and make decisions based on legitimate needs. This is childish. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 30. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm starting in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you should eat, or what you should drink, nor yet for your body, what you should put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? Verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Verse 29. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Repent before it's too late. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Those who diligently seek him are not making excuses. Those unwilling to settle the lordship of Jesus Christ believe God is controlling. They don't believe God is pure. If you do not believe God is love, you need to do your first works over again. He is Lord, and only by obeying him will you not perish. This is the strong meat that Paul was talking about that should be in every message. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 5, I'm reading. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm starting in verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Jesus is willing to be Lord of your life now. Those who are comfortable in this world are blind to the fact that using their minds has cost them dearly. The devil makes born-again believers comfortable so that they will not be ready for his appearing. He helps them believe that they're going to get to heaven by just repeating the sinner's prayer without living consistently by faith, listening and obeying the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. This is Hebrews chapter 10. I'm reading verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. The word perdition in Strong's is number 684. It comes from another word which means ruin or loss, physical, spiritual, or eternal. It means to be damnable, go to destruction, die. It means to perish or to waste away. Many who have already experienced the destruction from sowing to the flesh have come to their right minds. They repent and enter the kingdom of God now ahead of those who are religiously attending church with one foot in the world. Those who've reaped the consequences of sin realize that they need to go back to God and just learn to serve. Jesus gave this parable in Luke chapter 15, verses 17 to 19. This is Luke's gospel, chapter 15, starting verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Verse 18. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Verse 19. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Your soul can only be saved if Jesus owns you, and you let him change you now. The physical body will perish and go to dust, but a new person is being formed based on how much your mind is renewed, living the life of faith led by the Spirit. Only when you are controlled by the Spirit can you produce the right fruit. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 24, I'm reading Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Verse 23. Meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Those who are childish just want knowledge so they can still do what they want. Carnal Christians are childish and emphasize the gifts of the Spirit, but not the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts are not the sign of maturity, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, I'm reading the book of Hebrews chapter 4, I'm starting in verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. If you're still doing things based on what you see and think, you have not entered the rest. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Those who are childish prefer the knowledge of good and evil instead of the truth, as it's more comfortable for their flesh. If you are just making excuses for your flesh, you will end up listening to a wrong voice. We read in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. This is Genesis, chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? Verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. There were two trees in the garden. The first one was the tree of life. This was a tree with some knowledge, but this was based on what God provides out of his love and just what you need to know now. We read in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. This is Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you mayest freely eat. Verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There were many other trees in the garden. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was forbidden. The tree is great for carnal Christians who do not want to study. It's a tree that has all the answers on how to do things easily and what to do when evil comes. This looks like the easiest option because you can live without depending on God, but it does not lead to life. We read in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God loves you and does not want you to make decisions based on just the knowledge of a few things. God knows the end from the beginning. So he needs to make all the decisions based on love. He provides the information you need to know and not more. He does not make decisions based on what appears to be the most immediate need. He sees what is needed to avoid the corruption that is in this world, and this is why his plans never fail. We read in the book of Isaiah, 46 and verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, revised edition, in chapter 13, on pages 163 and 164, Joseph Hedgecock writes, if you or I look at an acorn, we only see a little nut. However, God looks at that same acorn and sees a full-grown oak tree. In fact, he sees the particular oak tree that will grow from that individual acorn. In the spiritual realm, God not only sees the fullness of each seed, he also knows the conditions needed for that seed to come to maturity. God's words, which are sown in your spirit, are seeds with the generic material needed to bring you to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. Only God knows the conditions that must be met for those seeds to grow. Your part is to allow God to prepare the ground in your heart. This is done by yielding to his lordship, to do whatever he commands, because you love him. As you love him and yield to his control, he sees the fullness of the seed of your choice. The way that knowledge is gained and passed on to others is also very childish. Knowledge should be restricted based on maturity. Carnal Christians are excited to know anything new about this world or even in the Bible, but do not want to know God or pay the price to get ready for eternity. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. In the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34 says, awake from your drunken stupor and return to sober sense and your right minds and sin no more. For some of you have not the knowledge of God. You are utterly and willfully and disgracefully ignorant and continue to be so, lacking the sense of God's presence and all true knowledge of him. I say this to your shame. You do not have to be ignorant anymore on how to stop sinning. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. By hearing God at the same speed at which you need to make decisions, you can easily stop sinning and feeding the flesh. If you cannot hear God fast enough, you will be tempted to use your mind again and take matters into your own hands. This is what happened after Adam and Eve were cut off from God. We read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7, and the eyes of them were opened, and they knew not that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to make themselves aprons. The word aprons in Strong's is number 2290. It comes from another word which means a belt for the waist, an apron, armor, or a girdle. Separated through sin, Adam and Eve became aware of things that they didn't need to know, but they started to use the information in a wrong way. Before they were separated from God, they did not realize they were naked. They did not need to know either, because they had God's glory around them. Now they tried to make a cover for their nakedness. This was not just one leaf. They sewed fig leaves together like a belt or a skirt, covering themselves. How many leaves do you need for an apron? This thinking was so pathetic compared to how Adam had named all the animals with God's help just after the creation of man. We read in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. There are many department stores here in the UK, but you cannot buy a dress or a skirt made out of fig leaves. Fig leaves are not in fashion today. Where did Adam and Eve come up with that idea? It was not from God. The leaves might have been slightly different then, so the stalks could interweave and hold together on their own. But who would think of such a dress made out of fig leaves? In the book The Gilded Prison, revised edition, in chapter 9 on page 80, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "Before Satan can deceive you with ways that seem right, he must first get you to move into the flesh. In the flesh, the natural realm, you make decisions and direct your steps from your reasoning and understanding. Then the devil ministers to you as an angel of light who impersonates God's voice. He gives you good ideas that seem right, and you follow them rather than the Lord. When you live in the natural carnal realm, you have no way to test or prove whether your thoughts come from God or from the angel of light. The devil can easily tempt you to believe deceptive doctrines because he leaves out specific parts of the whole truth. He then leads you to conclusions that are false. The devil is good at persuading you to act religiously from your natural reasoning. He tempts you to make good choices without asking the Lord what to do. He also produces excuses for thoughts and behaviors that are obviously not Christ-like. Adam sinned because he chose to do something without trusting God. Eve was tempted, but Adam sinned. Adam had walked with God in the cool of the day. He had seen what God could do through him naming all the animals. He experienced the glory of God. His main weakness was he did not know anything, but Adam knew not to take from the wrong tree. James said in James chapter 1, verses 13 to 15, I'm reading. This is James chapter 1, I'm starting in verse 13. "Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Verse 14, "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Verse 15, "Then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death." Today, man does not know how to use his brain properly. Those who consult their minds are like Adam and Eve sowing fig leaves together. Those who tell you God gave you a brain and expects you to use it are the blind leaders of the church leading the blind. God is not going to withhold information you really need. Everyone will give an account of everything that they have been given. God is able to provide what you need to know to be faithful when you follow him on the narrow way. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, verses 26 and 27. This is John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Verse 27. "Peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Everyone has to make the same choice today between two ways of living. Many have not found the way that leads to life. It's not enough to be born again. The narrow way represents the tree of life. The broad way represents the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. James said in James chapter 4, verses 7 to 10, I'm reading. This is James chapter 4, I'm reading verse 7. "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Verse 8. "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Verse 9. "Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness." Verse 10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." God is faithful even if you are unfaithful. You will have to judge God as unfaithful to take over the Lordship. If the devil has got access through sin, it is because You are not submitted to God and have listened to lies instead. John said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are you sewing fig leaves together because your desire for something in this world is so important to you personally? Are you trying to cover up some nakedness you feel rather than repent? You need to slow down and listen to God. You will end up using things in a way they were not designed to be used and adding to the corruption in this world rather than getting free yourself. You'll also get frustrated and angry too. James said in James chapter 1 verses 19 to 21. This is in the book of James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Verse 20, for the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Verse 21, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word which is able to save your souls. He desires you to hear and do the will of God. Children typically get angry when they are frustrated trying to put a square peg in a round hole. When you do not know what to do, who do you consult first? You may refer to the internet rather than ask God. You think this is okay, but this is childish too. The kingdom of God is here now. So doing the works God ordained is the main issue. Do not assume you are righteous just because you're born again. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 to 18. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you would be cold or hot. Verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Verse 17. Because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Adam and Eve felt naked in the garden. They could have knelt down and said, we are sorry that we have messed up the plan, God. What do you want us to do now? Even now, when convicted, you should feel wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Adam and Eve were cut off from God, and that separated them from the original plan for them to be blessed, multiply, and replenish the earth. But listening to the devil, they lost their right to rule before they even started. Sin takes you onto another path. We read in Genesis chapter 3, verses 21 to 24. This is Genesis chapter 3. I'm reading verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Verse 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Verse 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. To make the clothes that God gave to Adam and Eve in the garden, an animal had to die, and blood had to be spilled, because God gave them animal skins to wear. We read in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 22 to 24. This is Hebrews chapter 9. I'm reading verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. Verse 23. It was therefore necessary that patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Verse 24, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but unto heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Because of what Jesus has done, everyone now has been given the possibility through the confession of sin to come back into the presence of God. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, this is Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You should know by now, God is not harsh and condemning. You should know, if you humble yourself, that he is not going to treat you in accordance with all your sins. Confess your sins to God, and he is faithful and just to cleanse you of all sin and give you a fresh start. The old hymn says, there is power in the blood. To this world, knowledge is power. Even among carnal Christians, knowledge is power. But you are still ignorant if you are not in the Spirit, trusting God and doing the will of God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. In the kingdom of God, knowledge is not king. In the kingdom of God, Jesus is king, because he humbled himself and became obedient to death on the cross. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 to 11, I'm reading Philippians chapter 2, starting verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In the kingdom of God, more knowledge is given to those who are humble and ready to keep his commands. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 to 5, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, I'm reading verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Knowledge is distributed evenly in the kingdom and is based on humility, repentance, and meekness. We read in the book of Daniel, chapter 12 and verse 4. This is in Daniel, chapter 12, I'm reading verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Knowledge has increased since the time of Daniel to allow man to have some knowledge of certain things. But that knowledge has also been used in a selfish way. Daniel was told to seal the book and stop writing. Time is running out to see if man can learn that knowledge is not powerful. Those richer nations have developed a way of learning that is clearly not spiritual. But this has allowed some knowledge to be passed on. In total, there are still 781 million adults worldwide that can't read or write. The early English missionaries to third world countries often taught those who accepted the gospel how to read and write. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 2 and 3. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm reading verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I can remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. If someone had all great gifts and abilities to understand all things, they would be something in this world. However, in the eyes of God, they are nothing. Even if they gave all their enormous amount of worldly wealth they gained, it would have no benefit to them in the kingdom of God by giving it away. Bernard Arnault is the world's richest person with an estimated net amount worth $177 billion. Others include Jeffrey Preston Bezos, who is an American entrepreneur, media proprietor, investor, and computer engineer. He is the founder and executive chairman of Amazon, all worth about $150 billion. Bill Gates is the founder of Microsoft, the largest software company in the world, and with his foundation altogether is worth an estimated $124 billion. If the tree of the knowledge of good and evil were for sale, some would buy it today, but not the tree of life. James said in James chapter 1, verses 9 to 12, I'm reading. This is James chapter 1, I'm reading verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Verse 10, but the rich in that he is made low, because he is the flower of the grass. He shall pass away. Verse 11, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The computer was invented in the space program to calculate the angle of entry in a short period of time for the spacecraft entering the Earth's atmosphere at high speed. If the angle of entry was too shallow, the spacecraft would hit the Earth's atmosphere and go off into outer space. If the angle of entry was too steep, the spacecraft would burn up due to the resistance in Earth's atmosphere. Today, through the computer, many things are automated and can be calculated quickly. No one today would ever run a successful business without a computer or a smartphone. The same technology today is used for face recognition, and data is being stored about every person's activities. Some safeguards are in place, but this information is valuable to companies seeking a way of increasing their profits. When Jesus is ruling on this earth, man will not have access to computers. They will have to trust God instead. Those in the world are running out of time. Everyone needs to enter the kingdom before they die or Jesus comes. Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse 3 and 4, I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. I'm reading verse 3. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. God has allowed knowledge to increase to prevent a lot of suffering. However, those who have technology and information have used it to make money. Those who are comfortable now will find it very difficult to be saved through the narrow way. We read in Matthew 19 and verse 23. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. God wants you to be saved, but also be free from corruption. To get in the flesh, you must want something so much you are determined to believe lies, unbelief, to justify having your personal desires. You fight and resist conviction. You judge God that he is not trustworthy to make all the right decisions. Take over the Lordship and see nothing wrong with that. You have to take from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to usurp authority over God. Those who go protesting against governments do the same thing without any fear of God. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. I'm reading Philippians chapter 3, starting verse 16. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. Verse 18. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Jesus never judged his Father as wrong when he died for the sins of the whole world on the cross. If you judge God as unfair, you will do something that is also easier on your flesh, because you are earthly minded. Carnal Christians do not like the weakness of the cross, because they cannot have authority and power without doing the perfect will of God. At the cross, all your talents, abilities, strengths, and weakness are used to bring glory to God when He is Lord, because He knows how everything works. You can look at your strengths, for example, and make a career based on your best talents. If you're a good singer, you can use your singing gift to make some money and open doors and get a good career. If you do become comfortable and rich in this world without God, it will be much harder for you to trust God and enter the kingdom of God. Using the talents He gave you in a wrong way is also a misuse of the grace of God. Your brain was designed to function with Him in charge. You're supposed to trust God that He is love, and that everything He's doing for us is based on His love. We read in Isaiah 55, verses 6 to 9. This is in the book of Isaiah 55. I'm reading verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He shall have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. On the narrow way you are close to God. You know He's close, because He will also correct you now and again, because His ways are higher and better. Those who are wicked need to forsake their way first and get on the narrow way. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Man makes decisions foolishly, based on issues he thinks are important. Jesus took all the authority he had and gave it up willingly, just to do the will of the Father. Actually, there's nothing more exciting and dynamic than doing the will of the Father and watching Him provide His solutions based on His wisdom. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 16. This is John's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you. Jesus got all authority from heaven because He submitted to God, not just by saying a prayer out loud in the name of the Father or even in His own name. Paul was not concerned about seeing things clearly so he could make an informed decision. Paul was looking at the good fruit in his life. He knew only God can see the end from the beginning, and only He could make the right decision. He saw contentment and godliness as great gain in his life and relied on God for the rest. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 12 and 13. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm reading verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am also known. Verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. The word abideth in Strong's is number 3306. It's a primary verb. It means to stay, to abide, to continue, to dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand, or tarry. Paul had been speaking about love in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is more excellent than just using the power and the gifts of the Spirit to do the work of the ministry. At the end of the great love chapter, Paul mentioned that only three things will continue to pass over into eternity. And if you have money, you can't take it with you. If it's not one of these three things, it is temporal. Number one, faith. This is simply trusting God that he is trustworthy to do what he said he would do. Trust and obey, and understanding will come later. It is childish not to trust the Lord. Number two, your final destination is not determined until you die or meet Jesus. Your name can be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. As long as you are changing and the Holy Spirit is working on you, you have the hope of salvation and eternal glory. Number three, love. God is pure, and so now through obeying his commands, you can save yourself from a lot of heartache, misery, and regret. You will never reap anything bad if you obey and keep his commands. You should have made a decision to obey God before he even tells you what he wants you to do, because you believe he will never try you beyond your ability to endure. In the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality, as in a riddle or enigma. But then, when perfection comes, we shall see in reality, and face to face. And now I know in part, imperfectly, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God." You will discover what is really important by letting him become functional Lord of your life. Joseph Hedgecock, the author of the book My Sheep Hear My Voice, spoke a lot about love. And most people don't understand pure love is very rare. Over a period of time, without God's love, man becomes selfish, narrow-minded, blind, focused on one or two issues. However, pure love is not self-seeking. God will make changes in your diet, daily activities, and earthly pursuits. He knows all your basic needs, so you just need to hear God and learn to obey. If you're not listening to God, you are asleep spiritually, and you'll be left behind. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. I'm reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 6. "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Verse 7. "For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night." Verse 8. "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation." Do you believe that you can have life without relying on what you already know? It's called the life of faith. If your mind is renewed, he should be filling your mind now with his thoughts. Start every day with being a doer of the truth you have received by the Spirit. Do not resist conviction, as this is the hope of salvation. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. This is Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God knows all things. If he did not, then he would not be God. He knows how to build a house, make something beautiful and perfect. It's all available in the kingdom of God, in Christ, in the tree of life. But God is not like this world. He does not make knowledge available without someone having a personal relationship with him. What you gain is only temporal if it's not motivated out of love. The knowledge you gain would only be used for evil rather than good. God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden to enjoy, but Jesus is the only one qualified to take from it. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. This is the book of Revelation, chapter 5, I'm starting in verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Some Christians get angry at God because he doesn't tell them what they want to hear. The truth is, he is love and communicating his perfect will for every child of God. The problem is, his children do not have ears to hear and will go off in a direction with information and be destroyed using their own natural wisdom instead. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. It was not wrong for God to put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. He has given mankind the possibility to also choose life willingly by trusting God. However, separated from God, Adam became self-seeking, seeking things God provided rather than God, which is idolatry. It seems the rich are always looking for an investment or financial solution so they can retire and just make money with no effort. Jesus said in Luke 12, verses 16 to 21. This is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, starting verse 16. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Verse 17. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Verse 18. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21. So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Science tells us the brain has more capacity than the greatest computers in the world. This is not hard to believe because God created us to rule and reign under him. We are supposed to function with divine thoughts from God. The mind can only operate correctly when Jesus is Lord. Those who are childish have chosen to fill their mind with unnecessary information for life in this world that is passing away. Our brains do have a limited capacity, and over a period of many years, it can be filled with the wrong things. All you need is what he gives you, and get ready for his appearing. Christians on the narrow way don't need the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you are born again, you can come in his presence, be still before the Lord, and hear what God is saying. This will be hard on the flesh, but those on the narrow path make time to hear God. Jesus had a busy schedule, but he dismissed the crowds. We read in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. God loves us. In the morning or before the day gets too busy, you can tap into God's best before the devil uses the things of this world to distract you. Through the gift of eternal life, you can get to see how God sees things anytime in the Spirit. Everybody wants more power when talking about the kingdom of God. But actually, that's not its purpose. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verses 12 and 13. This is Matthew 11, and starting in verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violence take it by force. Verse 13. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. The prophets were sent to warn everyone everywhere to repent before the kingdom of God came. Now that the kingdom is here, there is an even greater urgency to repent. Time is running out. The priority now is to enter the kingdom and become like a little child. You don't need more power to overcome the kingdom of darkness. You just need to enter the kingdom of God yourself. The kingdom is here by the Spirit for those who want to hear and obey the Spirit. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 22, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." Making decisions based on one or two strengths actually makes you weaker. You might be able to use your strengths to make money, further your career, or make yourselves comfortable in this world. But what if the situation in the world changes suddenly and you cannot make money this way? Your strengths were there to give you time to develop your weaknesses too, with God's help. Only God knows the best way to do everything. Do not build a career without knowing God. Through your weaknesses, He can make you complete. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 9. And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Verse 10. "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong." You're supposed to put away childish things and learn how to grow up spiritually, so that the things of this life do not affect you. Those who are mature see how infirmities and weaknesses help them to trust God and prepare for kingdom living. They depend on the Spirit to tell them how to respond, act and not react. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, I'm reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting verse 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Verse 2, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." Verse 3, "For you are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? If you are making rules for everyone, you will cause strife. But if you teach someone to hear God and learn through trials and difficulties, you will help them to grow spiritually." James said in James chapter 1, verse 2 to 5, I'm reading. This is James chapter 1, I'm reading verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Verse 3, "knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Verse 4, "but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Verse 5, "if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him." When God brought animals to Adam, he named them quickly, and each name was the right name. It just flowed and brought glory to God. Then there'd been angels in the background singing every time he got it right. Adam brought glory to God using his connection to God and went from that to using his mind. The difference was huge. In the spirit, when you are hearing God, you have peace and your heart is not troubled until you move in the flesh. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Would to God that you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Eve knew it was wrong to take from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but she made an excuse based on her earthly needs. People in the world use their mind and then they resist conviction of the bad fruit that appears following the lust of the flesh. If you resist truth, you will never understand the things of God and always argue about everything. The church has gone away from the simplicity in Christ, trying to understand the things of God with their minds. In the Amplified Bible, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3 says, But now I am fearful, lest that even as the serpent beguiled Eve by his cunning, so your minds may be corrupted and seduced from wholeheartedly and sincere and pure devotion to Christ. The simplicity that is in Christ looks foolish to this world, and even carnal Christians. Those on the narrow way are not interested in knowing what is right and wrong according to this world. They are only interested in what God is saying to do now. When God does something, he makes decisions based on the fact that he sees the end from the beginning. Everyone can experience this now through the gift of eternal life. Jesus said in John 10, verse 27 and 28. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10. I'm reading verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, that they should never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You need to get on the narrow way if you don't want to perish. The broad way leads to destruction. Adam had knowledge of nothing, but he had a superb brain, maybe the same brain size as we do today. Adam started off using his own mind, sewing fig leaves together. Man ever since has been using his brain and doing things for his own needs and destroying everything. Adam made a wrong choice. He chose to live a life based on knowledge of right and wrong rather than just letting God do something through him. God has given man free will, and he's given you the measure of faith too. Everything we see is too big for our minds, but with our hearts we can trust God, and he can lead us to the truth. We read in the Psalms 131, verses 1 to 3. This is in the Psalms 131. I'm starting in verse 1, a song of degrees of David. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Verse 2, surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Verse 3, let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. God created us, and he sent us here. He knows what we will be in Christ. What you do with every minute does matter. God created time, and God gave you a free will so you could make the right decision to just trust God. Give your free will back to him. This choice will enable you to have fellowship with God and intimacy with him, and to do everything out of love. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. This is 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. He said, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Verse 2. "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Verse 3. "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commands." Even the gospel has been corrupted today, and people are told that you just need to accept Jesus as your Savior. But Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. The only way you can be saved is by making Jesus Lord and entering the kingdom now. If you make the decisions yourself, you will end up on a way that seems right, heading for destruction. If you don't repent and get on the narrow way, you will end up in hell. Jesus has to be Lord of your life for you to be saved. The truth today is not preached because the church has been corrupted with doctrines of demons instead. Pastors do not want to disturb those in the church that are rich and made themselves comfortable. If you're not on the narrow way, you will perish. There is no option to make him Savior and still make all the decisions yourself. When you are stuck and don't know what to do, where do you go? Who do you consult first when you're in trouble? Is it the internet, God, or the pastor? If someone calls and asks me, what is God saying? My job is to help them hear for themselves. I have no desire to hear God for others. Even if I do hear God for their sake, then there has to be a reason why they did not hear that answer themselves. And they need to understand why and repent. People sometimes ask what the narrow way is like. It's a life of pressure and some discomfort because the devil is the god of this world. You cannot use what the devil has contaminated. God created everything for a purpose, and when he created it, it was good. However, the kingdom of God is here now for those who want to do his will and put God first. You have to deny yourself fully, completely, to get on the narrow way. You cannot follow your own interests and desires without putting God first. It doesn't make sense to the flesh, but this is what prevents you from being corrupted by the world. We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 22, I'm reading to verse 25. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, and verse 22. "And he went through the cities and villages, and teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem." Verse 23. "Then said one unto him, Lord, are there a few that would be saved? And he said unto them," verse 24, "Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Verse 25. "When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and you begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are." To be saved, you have to hear, get to know, and follow Christ. To follow Christ, you have to deny yourself and take up your cross. The cross represents doing his perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, and action. It does not mean you will have to die on a cross for the sake of the gospel, but you may get that chance. Jesus said in Luke 9, 23 to 26. I'm reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 9 and verse 23. "And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? Verse 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." The only way to live is to trust God with everything. If you go your own way, do what you want, eat what you want, wear what you want, It does not lead to life. You end up serving the lust of the flesh, and the devil is your master. Jesus is not Lord of your life. You will serve the comforts of the flesh, become a lazy Christian, and get left behind. If you submit to the flesh, you will remain childish and a baby Christian. To consult your own mind is a sign that you do not trust God. The root of all sin is the fact that you do not trust God. God is the only one qualified to make all the decisions. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep, Hear My Voice by Joseph Hitchcock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path and sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hitchcock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious works, so you don't have to deny yourself daily and trust God. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hitchcock. You need to make a decision now that you're going to trust God. God gave you a free will, not so you could make the decisions yourself based on some rights and wrongs. He gave you the possibility just so you could trust Him with all your heart. All the sin and misery in your life is coming from the fact that you don't really trust Him with all your heart. And you go to your reasoning and understanding and make foolish decisions and do things that are not right. And you end up becoming part of this world again. Corruption just leads to more corruption. And God has made a way for you to give you a chance to be free from all corruption from now on. You can grow up spiritually. You don't have to look like something that is false anymore, trying to grow up with reason and understanding. You can be free from all the things that this world says you must have. Hallelujah. So I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you to become like a little child and trust God and show your maturity and strength and your wisdom, because all that you have came from God. Father, I'm praying for those who are listening to this message. Father, if they will acknowledge that they have been childish and foolish, using their minds, Father, I believe you're going to give them a fresh start, and they're going to recognize that they haven't really trusted you completely, and give them the desire of their heart. Give them what they really, really need as they put you first, as they seek your kingdom. And Father, they'll be so surprised at all the things that you can provide through your grace and mercy. We thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. Please get in touch with the ministry. If this message has changed your life or you want to find out more, please, it'd be great to hear from you. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.